thank you. So thank you for coming this morning, and we will expound the scriptures. The Bible says after we pray, we want to get into some good news. Isn't that why we're here? For to hear the good news? All right. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the folks who've shown up this morning. Those watching by webcam who can't get here, some of them in states near and far away, and we ask your blessing upon them. And we thank you, Lord, for those who still come out to hear the word of God, that unashamedly take this stand for you and are not going back down. They've backed us up to the water, and we'll have to go in it if we have to, but we'll do that too. But we are going to praise you. We are going to speak of you. We're going to witness for you, and we're going to preach about you until you come and take us away. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, and all that you've shared with us. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, we got some good news this morning, and isn't that what you come to church for, to hear the good news? All right, now don't get confused. It's easy to get confused when I'm talking. First good news I want to tell you about is we now have enough nuclear weapons in the world to wipe out humanity. For the first time in history, we now can wipe out humanity. It can be done. It's over. The Iranian lying hypocrites headed to hell people are now saying Israel is a one-bomb state. That one bomb will take care of Israel. This was about the size of half South Carolina, or all of New Jersey, whichever you want to measure. And we find out that our minds can't wrap around that. I've seen explosions on television and bombs dropped. I remember it in the service. They showed us a little island in the Pacific. It was a test area, and they had put cement and bricks and different things out there, and they were going to test a low-level atomic bomb to see how those building materials stood up against that kind of power. And so the plane came over the small island, and they dropped the bomb, and it went off, and they went back to test the stuff, but the island was gone. There wasn't anything but a hole in the sea. Now, that was about 45, 50 years ago. What they have now is beyond comprehension of anybody in this room. And the fact that they can drop one nuclear bomb and Israel's over is just, I can't grab that. I mean, you can't either. I see my friend from Charlotte here today. Can you imagine dropping a bomb in Charlotte and it affecting this place? You can't gather that up. But now several countries, more than we know about, have nuclear weapons. Our brilliant government just gave Iran permission to build one. How many here really believe that Iran couldn't have called Putin and got one anytime they wanted it? See, the news people will drive you crazy. I was going by Bilo yesterday to buy some food intake there, and had to get down to the ice cream counter for Ann. And guy out front has got the Sun News table set up. Rather large man, and he's hustling newspapers and wants you to sign up for a subscription to the Sun News. And I run, and I don't run, I walk by, slowly walk by, and he hollers at me, "Hey, sir, yes, would you like to sign up for a subscription to the Sun News?" And I said, "No, thank you." He made the mistake of saying, "Why?" I said, "Because my bird died, that's why. I don't need the Sun News anymore." Okay, neither do you, because what they report is not news. What they report is controlled media. Have you ever wondered why, when something happens in Dubuque, Iowa, or Pigpen out there, whatever happens, ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox, and the rest of them all have the same three stories that night? And you're going to tell me the news isn't controlled? Do I look like that big fool? Why is it they all report on the same three things? I'd rather hear news from each one on a different point, would you not? I just quit watching till Kimberly Guilfoyle gets on, then I pay attention. And that's that guy from Orlando, Ann. Yeah. So please understand, we live in the nuclear age, not the atomic age. And the game now is not who can win the war, it's please who can help stop one from starting. Because many countries have what they call a dead hand. We have one, Britain has one, France has one, Russia has one, several other countries have one, and a dead hand is something that if we are wiped out, everybody's gone at once. That thing will still operate and it will still retaliate against whoever sent the bomb to hit us. I'll give them a little bit glad to know that, but it's a little relief to know that you don't know to shoot until they've already shot and you in big trouble. I loved Lyndon Johnson, good old Lyndon. Lyndon Johnson was president, of course, of something. I'm sure it wasn't the United States, but he was in there. And newspaper report him, got him one day, said, Mr. President, we understand that we have 143 megatons of nuclear warfare, and the Russians have 197 megatons. What do you think about that? And Lyndon was a good old Texas boy, you know, hitting that draw worse than me. He said, well, to tell you the truth, the average man on the street don't know if he's been hit by 137 or 194 megatons of nuclear power. I mean, after all, the story is if it starts, it's over. The scientific community, I was reading just not long ago, in 15, the nuclear clock that they had set, the doomsday clock, they call it, that the scientists, not the theologians, this is the scientists, that the world had 12 minutes to midnight to doomsday. 12 minutes by their regulations. This year they came out with a new time and it's 2 minutes. Scientific community said it's 2 minutes to doomsday. That it's coming, we know. When, we don't. And it's got us all busied about being busy of everything that's not going to matter. Did you ever think that everything you're so caught up in now, once it's over, doesn't matter a hill of beans? It's sad, isn't it? I've said many a Sunday here, and I will repeat myself. That's called theological mucilage. That means glue. That the only thing that matters when you shut your eyes for the last time, whether you die of cancer, a heart attack, get hit by a car, or attacked by a black man at a service station, when you shut your eyes for the last time, the only thing that will matter about you is your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else will matter. Your PhD won't help. Your DDT won't help. Your RSV won't help. It's over. And when it's over, it's over. And a hippie had a sign on a Volkswagen with 38 other hippies in it in the 60s. I got behind him. And he was being cute. It had a bumper sticker made up that said, Jesus is coming soon, and boy, is he mad. And I read that, and I said, son, you have no idea what you've printed on your Volkswagen. I laughed. On the back of my car, you'll see a sign that says, enough is enough. And I'll get people ride by and toot their horn and give me a thumbs up. Because enough of what we're putting up with is enough. I did have one local man, I won't point him out. He said, what is an enog? And I said, I don't know. He said, enog is a nog. Yes, well, go ahead. Go back to the library. Germ warfare, we don't think about that much, do we? Do you know they've already caught ISIS using it. Already caught ISIS using it. Germ warfare is not something new. Germ warfare you can't hide from. Germ warfare will wipe out a nation in a matter of days. We have the jet planes, of course. We still say that. You can tell us uneducated rednecks, because we still say, I believe that's a jet. They all are, okay? But used to be, it was an airplane, right? But no, there's a jet, because we were so proud of a jet plane. During the Second World War, when jets first came about, pilot friend of my dad's was talking to him, so that the Greenway, we were in a plane and we were headed to drop some bombs, and a German plane came up beside us and hesitated just enough for us to get a good look at him, and said shoo, and he was gone. We didn't even know what it was, and that was the jet plane. America got him. A friend of my family's from Augusta, Georgia, said, oh yeah, germ warfare, we do it all the time. We got two pipes come out the back of the plane. The poison comes out one and ice comes out the other. When they mix, it makes snow. And we can go over an area and it's just a friendly little Christmas snowstorm. Yeah, drink that water, you'll see what it is. And that's 50 years ago. What they have now, we don't even know. We can't even imagine what they have now. But if we have it, the first rule of war is don't underestimate your enemy. Assume that he has everything you have. Any Army, Navy, military man will tell you that. We don't know what's there. We just know several countries now can wipe the world out in a day. That's where we sit. Not very good news. Diseases, the Center for Disease Control, way off in Atlanta, has more than five diseases locked up there. Hopefully they don't get out, because there's absolutely no cure. There's nothing anybody can do if any one of them gets loose. Everybody is gone. All of humanity is gone. Yeah, you think that'll happen? No, I read the Bible and know it's not going to happen. Not while I'm here. Egypt, we decided was the Islamic Brotherhood was running Egypt. So we decided to arm them. We have rebuilt the Egyptian army to a point where they are a mighty force. Please remember, Egypt sits on the end of Israel. They will be in the group of Arabs that come forth and attack Jerusalem before the Lord Jesus comes and bust them on the hills of Jerusalem. There are Edom, when you read in your Bible about Esau, Jacob and Esau. This isn't news. This goes way back. We're talking about the children of Esau, wild people, the Bible calls them. Calls them a wild ass of a man is what they called them, meaning a wild jackass in the desert. And that's who they are and what they are, and they will try to wipe out the Jews. They won't do that. Well, you just told us of all the stuff they had. No, what they don't have is God as their father, and God has made a covenant and told the Jews, you are my chosen people. I will fight for you. Don't worry about anything. And they don't. Just last week, our president, and if you voted for him, we'll hold a prayer meeting for you after church. If you voted for him, you voted for somebody who just gave Iran permission to have a nuclear weapon. They say, but it's 10 years away. Son, those people have been waiting since the 7th century to take over the world. Do you think a 10-year wait's anything to them? That's sitting on the curb waiting on the bus to them. They'll be more than glad to sit back for 10 years and then pursue the takeover of the world. That's their goal. That's what they want to do. That's what they're going to try to do. Are they going to be successful? Not according to the Bible. Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and fight on the part of his children, and he's going to defeat Esau and Edom and the Edomites and the Arabs and the Russians and all the Chinese and those coming down on Israel, and by his appearance is going to slay all of them. You got a midget God. Most people have a God that's 2 inches taller than John Wayne. They have no idea the power of God. We sing the song before we come up here and preach. I sing that because my dad was on the radio for years and spoke to millions of people. As a 25-year-old, he had a nationwide program for an hour in Canada that went coast to coast. The only man that did. Has spoken to millions of people, and he would always play that song before he preached. And that just sticks with me. All hail the power of Jesus' name. You have no idea of the power behind that name and that person, and that's who we believe in. So Egypt, we got to watch. Their army is built up strong now with our weapons. China's going to be in the Battle of Armageddon when the Antichrist and Russia and all are coming down on Israel, and they're in the war of Gog and Magog. China's going to sit back and wait. Chinese will wait. They're very patient people. Chinese will look at you and say, in 2,000 years, we'll own you. I mean, we say, you know, next week, and if it goes past that, we're in a hurry to do something else. They'll say, no, 2,000 years, we'll own it all. And they're going to come down, the Bible says, against Antichrist, fighting against him. They too want to take over the world. They're going to bring an army of 200 million people. 200 million. At the time that prophecy was written, there weren't 200 million people in the world. And it's talking about one army with 200 million, not to mention those at home to guard the homeland, not to mention the population of a billion people they got. You better watch the Chinese. Somebody asked me, and I'm not a businessman, what do you think business looks like and all that? I'm worried about my grandson. I said, teach him how to speak Chinese if you're real worried. Because they're going to take over the world. They sent the stock market crazy last week. I mean, it was financially over last week for a lot of people. $1 trillion was lost. Now, I don't understand the stock market. Jack does. Jack is an expert at that and has made quite a living at that. But I'm not as smart as Jack. I just never could figure out me sending money to New York City to a Jew that I didn't know would increase my income. I just didn't believe that. I couldn't gather that up. He had never sent me anything. Okay? The Euphrates River. The Bible says the Euphrates River is going to dry up. And the 200 million man army will be able to walk right across, just like the children of Israel did the Red Sea. And of course, the liberal theologians say, well, that's just symbolic, ba 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 ba. Yeah, it's symbolic like your salvation is. It's symbolic. Get in the book, find out what it says. They've now built docks in the Euphrates River that you can press a few buttons and they will divert the river and it will dry up in a matter of days, and a 200 million man army can march across in the dust. Not going to, not maybe, not someday. They can do that now. We're sitting in the middle of it. So I thought this was a good news sermon. It is. Hold on. Iran, we gave them with our new deal, and everybody says, well, I wonder if Congress will veto that. Won't matter. The man in the White House can veto their veto. Okay. We're going to give him $100 billion to go along with the 2,300 fighting jeeps. What do you call them now? They don't call them jeeps anymore. Those Humvees. We're fighting our own Humvees now. The 2,300 of them left over there. Yep. And if this isn't enough that we equip the enemy, we're going to give them $100 billion to make sure they don't run out of bullets. Have we gone totally insane or what? I mean, it's upside down. Russia, last month, signed a pact with the Arabs that they would defend them and fight with them, whoever got in trouble with them. Russia. And we sit down with Putin and everybody else, and I've only thrown up once on my living room floor, and it wasn't for drinking, because I don't drink. It was, they showed me Arafat walking down the halls of my White House. I threw up on the carpet. I said, the end is here. You got to be kidding. You got Arafat in our White House? Yes. They'll put Putin in there. Next week, they're going to put one of the popes in there. By the way, they have two. I don't know what happened to apostolic succession, do you? Well, you shouldn't talk about other religions. Honey, I just preach the truth. Deal with it. They got two popes. Which one speaks infallibly? Which one tells the truth? Which one should we follow? They just paid $21 million out in New Jersey, I think it was, Catholic Church did, for pedophiles, priests, pedophiles having sex with altar boys and children in the church. And they settled for $21 million to pay those people off. Let me ask you, which one of those priests forgive my sins when I go in the booth? Which ones am I supposed to listen to and call Father when the Bible says, call no man Father except the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, we're upside down. Doesn't sound good, does it? Apostasy. People say, well, I think that apostasy is coming. No, apostasy started 50 years ago. Apostasy means leaving the faith, leaving the orthodox Christianity way of doing things, leaving the orthodox doctrines, leaving the Bible. Apostasy started 50 years ago when we've got so intelligent, we had German scholarship come over, lost, undone, going to hell, and let them run the seminaries. So as a result, 60% of the pastors in churches today in our country do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God, do not believe in its inerrancy, do not believe in the virgin birth, do not believe in the forgiveness of sins by the atonement, and do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What exactly are you preaching? You have nothing to say. You have no news. You're preaching be good and act right and nice things will happen to you. Thank you, Joel Osteen. Don't think so. Join the Boy Scouts. They do the same thing and you get cookies at the end of the meeting. We're in bad shape, folks. The apostasy is here. The average pastor in this country reads his Bible 10 minutes a day. No wonder he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what the book says. I know of a huge one of these, they call them mega churches. 15 pastors, a pastor of this, pastor of the senior pastor, junior pastor, pastor of the young people, pastor of the music, pastor of this, pastor of that, pastor of cleaning the toilets. They got more pastors than they have people in the church. And a man stumbled in there trying to hear the gospel. He didn't know. And he listened to the preacher, and he did happen to get the gospel out somewhere during the service. And he said, sounds good to me. I want in on this. So he finds one of the many pastors on the way out and says, "Excuse me, aren't you one of the pastors here?" And he said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, I want to know more about this. I want to get what you call saved." And the pastor said, "That's not my area." Sent him back into the street. Are you kidding me? If you're not going to give an invitation, stay out of the pulpit. It's the only thing you're going to say that people are going to remember forever anyway. Everything else they'll forget. There are 10,000 churches in America right now. 10,000 with no pastor. No pastor. America has apostatized. We've left the faith. More than one church, and Mike, you from Charlotte, and you see the big churches up there. What about the crowds now? How many people going to Jack Hudson's church now? About 30% that was when we went. Isn't that sad? Huge auditoriums, beautiful edifices, 300 people, 200 people. I can drive you to a church on the way to lunch out here in the country. Fine little brick country church, a nice setup. I mean, you know, just a good little place to worship God. I'm sure he was worshiped there many a day by many a folk out on that area. The pastor now preaches for nothing because there's only 9 people show up on Sunday for service. Well, I'm so busy. Get unbusy. The Bible says to assemble yourselves together, even the more so as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you, it's hard to find in any city anymore is a Wednesday night preaching service. I'm not talking about prayer meeting where the choir practices. I'm talking about an old-fashioned preacher who gets up and takes the Bible and makes sure everybody out there knows where they're going if they die. That's preaching. Anything else is just massaging your earlobes. The purpose of the church is not a social outfit to feed the poor. We do that because we're kind people. It has nothing to do with all that stuff. The purpose of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to bring the lost to the Savior. That's the purpose. People say, "Well, why is your church named the Church of the Lost and Found?" I said, because that's what every church is. It's a mixture of lost and found people. Because you see in our apostasy way of thinking, you think if you go to church on Sunday, just smile and sing and just be there, that that's going to cover everything for the week. Fool yourself. Fool yourself. Being a Christian is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week proposition. It's not an affirmation. It's a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, people who allow us to be here, not in this building, not in this time, but people who allow us to be here were sawn in half, hung, run through with swords, burned at the stake, killed a dozen different ways, and they're still being killed by the damnable Islamics today. And Christians aren't doing anything about it. Nothing. What a shame. These no good hell-bound people are cutting babies in half. Taking women. You heard my friend who was here the other week, Moody. Wild, crazy Moody. He's been in more fights than most professional fighters. He was a wild man in O'Reilly up through here, Marion Mullins in that area. You knew him, didn't you, Law? You know, he was here the other week. He was riding down the road. What people don't know about him, he doesn't have a PhD. He didn't go to college, but he was an avid reader. He would read anything that had print on it all day, every day. He'd have magazine, newspaper, whatever it was, because he wanted to learn and wanted to know. And we ate lunch last Sunday. He said, Beaver, is this a pet fly? He said, Beaver, I was driving my car down the street one day, and I don't sound like it, but I know quite a bit. I've read 10,000 books, son. I read, and I was driving, and I said, I had a thought, what if this car wrecks and I die? Then what? He said, I've been reading wrong stuff. I better go read the Bible. Drove home, got a Bible, started at Genesis, and read the whole thing. Put it down, turned back to page one, and read the whole thing again. Got born again. Got saved. Now, he who used to raise hell is in Cambodia area raising heaven. He's built a church, which you can get killed for doing. He's built a school that he takes kids off the street, little girls that are going to be sold into the sex trade. And when he was here last time, he didn't know I was going to do it. He didn't come up here for money. This is not a good place to come for money. Thank you, Donnie. He said, Beaver, your people wrote me a letter. He said, your people were so kind in helping me with going back to Cambodia. He isn't in Cambodia. He's on the line before you get in. They'd kill him if he went in. And he's done all this. He said, I've got to get back there in a hurry. I've got to buy three little girls from our church. Their mother and dad is going to sell them into sex slavery if I don't buy them. And they will sell them on up until they put them in the sex market, and they'll be dead before they're 20. And they're human beings, right? He said, I've got to get back. I said, I'm glad you came, and I asked you to help him. And those of you who did, God bless you. That's what you help him. And he'll get back and buy those three, and then he'll save others. And this kind of work goes on by the few around the world for one reason. They know, as Freddie said, the Lord Jesus Christ personally. This isn't a game. This isn't a social event. This is a world view. This is a life view. Your total eternity, a word we say, but we never really try to get into much. Your total eternity will depend on what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ in the few years you're going to be here. If you think 94 is old for Mr. Bill, the Old Testament prophets would laugh at that kid. You mean you're not but 94? Well, come see me when you grow up. I'll give you a job. You think 75 and 80 is old here? Not hardly. Not hardly. You hadn't even started eternity. Draw a line and call it eternity, and then put a dot that represents 100 years somewhere on there, and then try to find it with a magnifying glass. Forever is forever. And where you spend forever will depend entirely on what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, well, that's serious, isn't it? Yeah, well, I thought you had good news for me. I'm lost. Yeah, you are. I want to know how long God is willing to wait to judge a nation that kills 4,000 babies a week. Boy, he's got some patience, hasn't he? It wouldn't do for me. I'm sure you saw over the weekend that somebody walked up and shot a sheriff in Texas, filling up his tank with gas, got two kids at home and a wife, trying to be a law officer and keep the peace, and for absolutely no reason, walked up behind that man, shot him in the head, shot him in the back, and when he fell down, emptied the gun to him on the ground. See. Well, what did you think about that? What did I think? You've asked the wrong man. I think they ought to bring lynching back, is what I thought. hang him on the gas rafter. We'll hold a trial tomorrow and see if we were right. You see, people like that don't understand kindness, mercy, justice, love. They don't understand that. If you think you're going to rehabilitate somebody like that that doesn't know Christ, you can forget that. My mama used to tell me when I was a little bitty boy, and at one time I was a little bitty boy. She said, son, you can take a hobo off a train who's stealing a ride somewhere. Right? He's in the boxcar. He's stealing a ride. Give him a shave and a shower and a haircut and fix him up nice and buy him a new suit. Dress him up, put him in an office, put him behind an oak desk, put a brass plate on the door, Mr. So-and-so. Give him a paycheck of authority, and there he sits. You think you did something for him. All you did was put him in a position to steal a whole train. That's all. Nothing changes a human being's nature except when he is born again. That's why they call it born again. You become a new creature in Christ. It's not a new standing in humanity. It's a new creature in Christ. Old things are what? Passed away. Gone. I get people with have a depression, and that's a very serious thing. I know some of you have some cases of depression, and I've been depressed every now and then. Ann said we've been married 34 years, and I've been depressed, and not to mention her. We get people who are depressed, sad. Well, let me talk to you now. I said, well, do you do counseling? I said, yeah. I said, can I make an appointment? I said, no. I said, why? I said, we're going to do the counseling right now. I said, on the telephone? I said, on the telephone. Are you ready for the counseling? Well, I guess so. Okay. Do what's right. Thanks for calling. It's all the counseling you need. If you'll do what's right, you won't be depressed. If you'll do what's right, you'll accept Christ and follow Him. You have absolutely nothing to depress over. All they can do is kill you, and that's a free ticket home. Tell me again why you sad? And we kill 4,000 babies a week. It brings tears to my eyes to talk about it. And I was thinking about it, and I said, I'm sure you're smarter than I am, but I can't figure this out. Pregnant woman goes to the hospital, goes to the first floor in search of having an abortion. So the doctors take her in where you have an abortion, and they get her all set up and all ready to have the abortion, and they are going to deliver the tissue, because that's what abortion is called, that, right? A fetus, a tissue, a nothing. However, on the second floor, another lady has come in, and she too was pregnant. And she's about to deliver a baby or a tissue, and she can't make a normal delivery, and they're going to have a cesarean birth. That means you cut your stomach open and do it that way. That's the way I was born. Okay. Now, will somebody smarter than me please tell me when the tissue on the first floor became a baby on the second? When did that occur? Didn't occur. It was a baby from the time it was conceived. Proven scientifically. Not that I put all my marbles on science, for they can be wrong too. I'm preaching on abortion 15 years ago over there, back there where Mike's sitting. And a young lady got up and ran out the door, crying. And I said, what's wrong with her? He said, well, Beaver, she's had an abortion and she just couldn't stand what you're talking about. I said, she should have stayed for the rest of the sermon. Jesus will forgive that. Though you murdered your own baby, the love of God and His mercy and kindness will forgive that. Please understand, the love of God is so strong, so straight, so strong, that He's going to love you even if you don't love Him and you don't accept Him and go to hell. He is going to still love you there. Not enough to get you out, you didn't pass the test. Not enough to help you, but does He still love you? Absolutely. Why? Because God is love. God doesn't love. God is love. His nature can do no other. But in order to be with Him, you have to love Him. Well, it sounds so simple. It doesn't sound as simple as you do. We read in the Bible that the Mount of Olives is going to split. And for years, we've known it, 2,000 years, the Bible said that when Jesus comes back and His feet touch the Mount of Olives, we know not only that He's coming, but where He's going to land. That mountain will split in two. For years, the liberals say, well, that can't happen. What a foolish thing to say. Big mountain like that is the baba baba boo boo boo. Then the seismologists, that's people who study the shaking of the earth, found out there's a fissure runs through the Mount of Olives, right under the King David Hotel, by the way, which is a 5-star hotel on the Mount of Olives, runs right under it. And the seismologists, lost, undone, not Christian, don't believe the Bible anyway, say, yes, one day that thing's going to part. Excuse me? You don't think that's a bulletin to me, do you? You don't think you're bringing me news, do you? And then our generals say, we've lost this war. How can you lose a war when the news photographer confound the warriors against you? But we don't know what to do about ISIS. I do. Bomb hell out of them. Do you know where they are? Well, they're in Syria. That's an imaginary line. Do you know there's no line between here and Canada? There is a river, the Niagara, but on upper, isn't it? There's no line between here and Calabash, North Carolina. It's in your head. See? Is my enemy in Syria? Yeah, go get him out. Do you know how many nuclear bombs you'll have to drop over there to settle that whole thing? One. Because everybody else is going to say they mean business, don't they? But now they know we don't. And they will push us to the limit that only our dead hand will retaliate. That I thought you were going to bring good news. You said this was a good news sermon. And everything you've talked about is the worst news I ever heard. Here comes the good news. If you're a Christian, none of that applies to you. You're going to be gone. You're going to be out of here. Well, I'm worried about Armageddon. I'm not. I'm not going to be here. Why? Rapture of the church happens before then. Let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Amen. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's the good news that wipes out all that bad news, because it's going to affect me. all you can do is shoot me in the head and send me home quicker. That's all you can do to me. See, for I am in the hands of the Savior, and I'm a born-again, blood-washed son of the living God, and the devil and all his angels cannot loosen his grip that he has on me. How about you? We know he's coming. Any Christian who reads the Bible know Christ is coming. Those of us who study prophecy believe that he's coming soon. We believe the signposts are on the stage and all I got to do is pull up the curtain. We believe that. Regardless of that, we all know he's coming. That isn't the question. The question is he coming for you? That's the question. I'm sorry about those you worry about somewhere. Well, what about the guy in the Congo? That's God's business. I worry about what's going to happen to Beaver Greenway when he dies. And one day somebody taught me not to worry anymore. That to turn it all over to him. And there may be some rough spots, but we'll get through them. There may be some hard times, but we'll make it. Things may not go like you want, but we'll get over that. People can leave your life and come into your life. Don't matter. They're gone. We get people, as I said a while ago, who are depressed and all. And real short, I have a counseling session with them and say, let me tell you, when did that happen that you so worried about? Well, it was just 10 years ago. 10 years ago. And I get those that say, well, 2 years ago. Get some that say 2 weeks ago. I said, let me see how your vocabulary works. Do you know what past means? P-A-S-T. Well, yeah, past. It's the past. It's gone, yeah. I said, the reason they call the past is because it's past. Let it go. You can do nothing about it. Let it go. By the goodness and love and mercy and kindness of God, he gave you a new day to start over. And anything that has happened to you doesn't even count in his book, because he owns all time and all eternity and says, you, my man, have been born again. You're a child of mine. I'll be there soon. Hold on. And you will be in my presence forever. Now, if you want a better deal than that, write it up. We'll see if we can do something for you. I never heard one. And it's free and without cost. Nothing you can beg, borrow, or steal. You can only have it by obedience and saying, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Yes, I need a Savior. By the way, we're the only one of the several thousand religions in the world that have a Savior. You don't have to look into it. Take my word for it. Only one. And if you've never accepted him and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and I believe it's you, and today I want my life changed, today I want to be a child of God, not just a creature of God. Today I want to be sure when you come that you're coming for me. Today I want to know without a shadow of a doubt when I close my eyes for the last time, the next time I open them, I will see your face. And if you hadn't done that, you do that today. You don't have to come up here if you want to. That's fine, but I'll pray with you. Got any other needs you got and you think my prayer will help you? I'll pray with you. But the main reason we're here and the main reason we gather is to worship the Lord God Almighty, who sent his only begotten Son to die for my sins. And he said, now that I've saved you, boy, how about telling a few others? And I said, yes, sir. Find me a place. Find me a place. I'll do the talking. I don't care where it is. I don't know how the Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Catholics, Pentecostals, and Baptist Methodopalians, I don't know how they miss this as a church. I mean, look at it. Big spacious thing, big ocean to look at. How in the world would you not think this is a perfect place for a church? But you see, only me and God were dumb enough to know it would work. And I didn't know. I came by faith. He said, you talk, I'll walk. I said, okay. And walk he does. Where two or three are gathered together, he said, I'm there. And that pull, if you lost, that pull you feel on your heart today, that's the Holy Spirit of God saying, you better listen. You may not get another chance. This may be your last one. Because every time you hear a sermon and a preacher and hear the gospel one more time and reject it, you get harder and harder and harder and harder till finally you don't even come anymore and you turn against him. That's where apostasy takes you. But the good born again, blood washed people who love God do like Elizabeth here. She's 91 now. Doesn't miss a Sunday. Well, I'm so tired. How do you think she feels? Takes so long for me to get ready for church. You want to know how long it takes to get her ready to go to church? About an hour. Okay. Well, sometimes she falls asleep. It's okay. If she stays asleep, I'll know where she went. That's okay. But only by the obedience and accepting of Christ do you have any hope whatsoever. All news to you is bad news, except the good news that Jesus died in your place. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how we love you. And I don't mean to talk so long, but you're the one that gave me the vocal cords. And to get talking about you and the glory of you and the beauty of salvation and the power you have and your willingness and love to forgive my sins, I can't shut up about it. The wonder of it all, the songs that we sing, the poems that we quote, the gospel that we read, the success in business some have here, the homes they have are so beautiful, and cars they drive are so good. And the money in the bank that hadn't quite failed yet, and oh, how proud some people are of nothing that's going to last. The only thing that will last for eternity is you and yours. And I'm so glad you let me be one of them. Be with us this day. We thank you for the people who came out this day. Give them traveling mercies as they go home. And bring them here again next Sunday if you tarry, that we can say thank you one more time to the only God, to the only Lord, to the only faith, to the only word, to the only death that took our place. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace. embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner.